Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the Root.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
This is Jaguars Monday, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get to some calls coming up. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, the whole gang is here. Joe Fortunato on the board tonight.
When are we doing calls? My favorite segment. When are we doing it? Like, what about time?
About
15, 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think I'll
get into the show a little bit.
I want Pat to call back in from last week. Someone, a good friend of mine, was listening to the show and said I was overly critical and mean to Pat.
Well, you're mean to a lot of people.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, he is.
No, I'm not. I'm a very nice person.
You're a nice person, but you're mean to the callers.
No, I'm not.
You're mean
very
man.
Mean.
I'm mean not
man.
Mean.
Angry.
And I want to make sure Pat understands.
Aggressive, in fact.
That I love Pat as a person and the fan and the support he gives.
You don't know Pat.
He's a season ticket holder. I love all the season ticket holders.
He's
and
a mean man.
When I said.
He's backpedaled already.
No,
you got to the segment.
No, I was saying last week he had a question. I can't remember what the question was. And I thought the question was dumb. I would never call any of the callers
if,
dumb.
Obviously, if some of your friends or a friend of yours, it's
probably
a wife. She probably,
it was not a wife.
No, it was a friend of yours.
A friend of mine called and was like, that's
the topic was he was asking for Caldwell's head.
I thought that was a dumb question.
It's a stupid thing to say.
Okay, stupid
flat
question.
Out.
However you want to do it.
Right, that's a dumb question.
It's a dumb question.
You're in your second year.
That was my point.
You want the GM fired? Are you kidding me?
You want to fire now?
I don't.
Just want a ball.
My point is, I don't think Pat's dumb. I want to make sure that's clear. I don't think any of the callers are dumb. I don't know any of the callers. Some of the questions that we get asked, I think, are ridiculous.
Mean Tony Baselli. You're taking the nickname from Mean Joe Green. You're Mean Tony Baselli.
2 minutes into the show. He's already laying down the line.
By the way, you know how happy I am to say that somebody else is mean?
I was like, that's your job. I'm supposed to be the good guy. How'd this work? I'm not going to get upset at any of the callers today. I don't care what they say. They can say the most asinine, idiotic
things.
What
if they call in and say Orlando Pace was better than you?
I'm going to say you are such a
wonderful
fine person.
Then I'll call him stupid.
Well, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get to that coming up. But largest comeback win in franchise history, down 21-0. The defense had two big scores. The offense at the right times came through. And as we mentioned, the CopyFax face-off coming up later. We'll look at a coaching decision from yesterday's game.
I know what it is.
And look around the National Football
League. And Pete and I
League.
Are probably
No, I wrote about it today, so we're not going to agree. I'm sure we're in agreement. I wrote about it today in my Monday Musings. I criticized them for it. You're talking
we'll get
I know
to
what
that.
You're talking
we'll
about.
We'll get to that, yes.
Did you see I wrote about
I
it?
I did, yes.
Yeah. I thought it was a horrible decision.
All right.
He will too, though, so we
I'm not going to say what I think.
Well, we'll have to figure out who goes first. We'll save that for a little later.
I go first. I know that.
Defense, though.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. After I wrote about it already, how can I argue that it's a right decision?
Yeah, you might be stuck, Pete. Yeah, who knows? Well,
okay, then I'll just say you win.
Mark it down. Play the music.
Defense. I mean, every week we ask, what more can this group do? And, hey, they did more. They scored twice. For the first time in franchise history, they scored two defensive touchdowns in a game.
Well, let me say this about the defense. I thought it was one of the worst first halves this defense has played. This is a group that has been outstanding, in my opinion. I know a lot of people say, oh, they're ranked there, the yards. And there's so much more to the rankings and the statistics. You have to look at the entire picture. And they weren't very good the first three games of the year. But I think this has been a very good group since then. And I was sitting there watching the game a little bit disappointed because I didn't sense the energy from that group. And I thought it was a group that was – not that they were – not trying, but they didn't have the same passion and speed and getting off blocks that they typically do. This is a group from the on the front seven that gets off blocks and makes plays. I mean, they are really good. And so I was at halftime, I was as disappointed as down as I've been probably this year for a game at that halftime. Being down 21-3, offense not doing anything, defense not giving the same passion and energy, or whatever you want to call it. I'll never question any guy's effort. I think guys are playing hard. I mean, they're out there trying, but there's always something you can dig deeper and you play with that energy and passion that I think, takes you to another level. And this group has done that. They came out in the second half, and they were dominant. The same group came out in the second half after giving up a bunch of yards, 21 points, 19-play drive, and they gave up 70 yards in the second half. 45 plays in the first half, like 20, low 20s the second half. And they went from being Velcro to the offensive linemen to not staying blocked at all. And they were dominant in the second half. The defense, we thought coming into this year, would be the backbone of this team. They have been. They've been the strength, obviously. They carried the team to victory in the second half. That last 30 minutes was as good of defensive football that I've seen, you know, this group play. And you look around the league, I mean, they were dominant. They took the game over and scored. And sometimes those scores are fortunate, the ball's to bounce right. the right way, but they took advantage of it.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm – Thursday when I do my breakdowns, I'm going to do one on the Eagles' defense and offense, but I also include some other guys in there and other things I see. So Derek Marks should go to the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, he's 7 sacks. But tackles for losses. I mean, just, he doesn't stay blocked.
No, to me
– And that was the one thing, like, in the first half, it was like he's a great example. It wasn't that he was playing bad. But it wasn't the dominant off getting off blocks and just
in the second half he did.
Second half he's dominant.
See, to me, he's not going to get much recognition,
which is wrong.
And that's a guy. If you look at what he's done this year, he deserves to be.
Pete, how many guys at the defensive tackle position, the three technique, are playing at the level he is? I mean, I like Ndamukong Suh's having a great year.
Great year.
He's a dominant.
McCoy's
player.
McCoy.
Gerald McCoy.
Right.
I mean, but Marcel Darius.
But you're talking about guys in the other. You're talking about guys in the other.
Maybe Marcel Darius is having a very really good job. If you count J.J. Watt as a defensive tackle, obviously
he's an end.
He is an end. Go watch the tape.
The Jaguars.
Go watch what they do.
Aren't going to get anybody in the Pro Bowl, probably. So Derek Marks belongs in the Pro Bowl. It would be unfair to him if he doesn't get to the Pro Bowl.
7 sacks from that position is not easy.
One more and he cashes in. They say, huh? For 600 large in his contract.
Is that it?
Bonus.
Where'd you hear that?
That's somebody over there said that.
You got a little birdie chirping to you, huh? That's news. I like it. Well, I hope he gets about 5 more.
Well, I think he'll get one more.
He's had a sack a game in the last 5 games. So if he can finish off, we have 5 more games with 5 more sacks, it'll be a good year.
One of the things that's Clemens has flicked the switch at some point in the last.
He's playing better
months.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, early on.
The second half.
The first part of the season, he looked like a guy came to a new situation, kind of got paid, lollygagged. He wasn't the same guy. Now he's picked it up a little bit. You can count on him being part of the defensive pass rush rotation next year.
I'll tell you who else played well. It's Tyson Alualu. I mean, he played strong, and he gives them versatility. And we saw it on film yesterday. He played a 1 technique at times. He played a 3 technique, and he played a 6 technique.
But he's not going to be back next year, do you think? Unless he comes back on a.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
is this contract?
I think
it is. He's a
rotation. I have no idea. But he played well. Listen, the whole.
I'll look and see, but I think it is.
The whole second half. The second half, they all played well. I mean, you don't give up 70 yards and 3 turnovers and 2 touchdowns. I thought. I continue to be impressed by Demetrius McCray.
Me too.
And they never really threw at him yesterday. I don't know if it was by design or just how they if the Giants were trying to get the matchup on Grotz and stay away from McCray. I have no idea, but that's how it worked out. A couple missed tackles in the secondary that led to big plays, even in that first half. I mean, there were some opportunities to stop them and get off the field. You know, I can't remember, it was a little – screen pass, the little flare pass to Odell Beckham. I want to say it was Josh Evans who came up and missed a tackle and turns into like a 25-yard play. Should have been about a 3-yard gain.
What about Colvin?
Colvin played good. He continues. You know, he's only going
to
get better.
See, to me, that's a big deal for them next year.
This group, as young as it is, and not that they don't – I mean, the question I think you have in the secondary you'd have to look at, does this team have a true free safety right now?
Right, no. They don't.
You know, you got 2 guys who are more strong safety field.
And center field playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Devin McCourty lining up next to Jonathan Cyprian in the 2 big corners and Colvin and McCray next year. How do you like that?
Well, I mean, listen, I'll
fix it. I'm fixing it.
You're a fix it man. I'll just talk about the guys on the field that we have right now. They're playing. I mean, for the youth and the way they play. They continue to get better each week. And I'll say the future is bright in that secondary.
One quick thing. If you look at – and again, I know there's always the Seattle comparison. If Colvin plays like he did when he was coming out of Oklahoma, and it's starting to look like he's getting back to that. Good size corner over there, right? McCray's a pretty good size corner.
Pretty good. He's long.
Right. Cyprian could fill the come down in the box. You play cover three and rotate if you have a free safety who can go sideline to sideline. That, to me, is one of the most underrated things about the Seattle defense is how much range and athletic ability Earl Thomas
has. Earl Thomas is one of the best free safeties
in
football.
Right, but if you get a McCourty, McCourty's also right there with him. He's a very, very, very good free safety. You get a Devin McCourty, put him in that secondary, all of a sudden you're looking at the secondary, it's pretty darn good. Now
can McCourty run like Earl Thomas?
Remember, he's a former corner.
Right.
So, yeah.
But the defense was outstanding. To answer your initial question, JP, I mean, the defense was outstanding.
He never wants to look ahead, does he? He never wants to look ahead. One game at a time, one play at a time, one. It's always the same thing. You got to fix it.
Four games left, Pete.
You got to fix it. We got.
Was there only four left? I thought it was five. No,
four.
It was four.
Four.
So four.
You only play 16 in this league, Tony.
Yeah. Only for a couple more years.
Yeah, that's going to be 18.
We'll get to the offense coming up. Plenty of changes, differences there this week. We'll talk about Blake Bortles.
Wildcat.
Is it, has, you know, that end of the game, Bortles time, first time, first comeback?
Wildcat was like two plays.
Let him play quarterback, okay? All that play does is stunt your development.
We'll get to that. Coming up, Jeff Lagerman will join us as well.
You are absolutely ridiculous.
Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. We'll look at the offense. Jeff Lagerman joins us after this. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
See some things he's doing well with Luke in the run game. The pass pro, if you look at it, over the majority of the times we attempted pass, his protection was pretty good. But those things always are elevated when with the number of sacks. So I think he's drawing from every experience going against the really elite pass rushers, and you're seeing him do some good things, and then other times where, you know, the twists and the speed, he'll learn from it.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today. Jaguars Monday continues. Talking about Luke Jokel, JP Shattuck, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Jeff Lagerman is
Lost.
With us.
No, I'm just
kidding. Whoa, Pete. Come on early. There already.
That's too early. I'm just kidding.
What was that?
He called him a bust already. No. Jokel.
No.
That's a little strong, Pete.
That's harsh. That's harsh.
That was a cheap shot.
He's not a bust. I was just kidding. He's not a
cheap
bust.
Shot.
He's not playing very well.
Playing okay.
But again, and I say this to you all the time.
But you expect
the left tackles
level.
In this league, the left tackles in this league who have come in the last 3 years are not playing good football. Most of them. Matt Khalil, high pick out of your school, not playing very good. These guys are struggling for whatever reason.
Which is, Khalil is surprising because he played so well as a rookie, and now he's
struggling. They almost benched him. So I don't know why. I mean, you know the theories, but you know, but I'm not saying Jokel's a bust. But for where he was picked in a bad draft, by the way, it was a really bad draft. He's not.
I'll
not
just say this, well. And I don't want to. I mean, I guess we can if everyone wants to about Jokel. I see him improving. And number one of the holding calls was a phantom call.
Terrible.
And you could argue the second one was a phantom call as well, based on because I purposely watched and see what the opponent, the Giants, are doing. They're doing this. I mean, tackling. I mean, it was not called. If you're going to call that ticky-tacky, you better call the whole game that way. And it wasn't. And so those don't bother me as much. He got beat on a speed rush. JPP got a great jump. It's going to happen.
He's a great player.
He had a great jump, got on the edge, knocked his outside hand down.
When he's healthy and on his game, he's a hell of a player.
It's funny, though, and his stats don't translate to how good he is right now. If you look at his numbers,
in my opinion, I don't think he is as elite as everyone else does. I think he's very good.
Who, Pierre Paul?
Yeah. The way he rushes, and maybe it's that's what they're asking.
He's not an elite player, but he's an elite athlete.
No, right. I mean, I'll just say this. I mean,
would you sign him? He's a free agent.
No.
You would not?
No.
He's got injury history. You know, the 1 year he had, 14 and a half sacks, and then
16 and a half.
Or 16 and a half. And then if you look at all the other years, he's averaging four.
Well, he hurt his back. He got heavy.
He's been injured.
And he got heavy. You would not sign. You say no.
I mean, for the right price, I would.
Right.
But I wouldn't pay.
But he's going to be on the. He's going to be one of the premier guys on the market.
I would pay him $16 million a year. Or whatever.
Would I pay him? It depends on the price tag. But he is an elite athlete. There's no question about that.
Can he be an elite pass rusher?
Well, I don't know. I mean, today just got done watching some of Jadeveon Clowney, and he's an elite athlete, but he's doing nothing.
He can't rush the pass.
He just goes right up the field.
His knee's bothering him, so let's give the kid a break. His knee's bothering him, so.
To the point where he's checked out a couple games.
He didn't play this past game.
He didn't play 2 weeks ago either.
No, he did.
No,
2 weeks ago against Cincinnati, he played.
Played against Cincinnati, but the week.
Didn't play this past week.
Right.
And O'Brien said today they're not sure about this week yet.
But back to Joko, I actually see improvement. Perfect example, and Jeff and I have been talking about his hand use. His hand use is getting better. You can see he's working on it. And so everyone wants to be overly critical of him and nitpick everything he does. I don't think it's fair. I think he is improving. I see him working on things, and I think I still stand by what I originally said. I think he will be a good player.
Let's get to the quarterback and the differences in play calling this week. It was a little different look this week, Jeff, just overall on offense.
It was a different look in that, you know, Jed Fish kind of let it rip, so to speak. You know, they broke out the Wildcat packages, mixed it up with some formations on the long ball to Marquise Lee, you know, but the win still can't cover up the fact that you scored 12 points on offense, you know. So, I mean, they still got a lot of work to do on offense. You know, I think it's one of those deals where it's such a young team. If they can find a way to get some confidence early in a game, I think it's something that they can build on throughout the game. And in that game, you started out, two consecutive drives, three and out. And then all of a sudden, they're like, uh-oh, here we go again. You know, young teams and young players need confidence. Just like Marquise Lee got confidence against Indianapolis, and all of a sudden this game he comes out and he's playing like he's a different player. And so I think offensively as a group, they need to start having something good happen early to get a start.
Do you like the Wildcat, Pete?
No, hate it. And I'm stubborn because I'm an old stand in the pocket and throw the ball around guy. And I think you're stunning your quarterback by using
that.
Well,
you're not stunning your quarterback.
Three plays, you're stunning his quarterback.
He's not a play real quarterback.
No, but the reality is that when you're running that, you're not playing the quarterback position well enough.
Right. Definition of Wildcat is a team that does not have quarterback.
Well, I don't say does not have quarterback. It does not have quarterback that's ready to handle
that's
it.
That's my definition of the Wildcat.
Well.
you're protecting your quarterback when you use that.
Sure.
You're not protecting your quarterback. You're trying to manufacture offense, a team that's averaging 14 points a game.
Again, when I look at the quarterback position, it's about him becoming good in that pocket. It's not about manufacturing offense.
Okay, but three plays is not going to make a difference of whether he gets good in the pocket or not, Pete.
I disagree.
Oh,
I disagree.
Gosh.
I think
you
should.
Are
as many more plays he gets in the pocket,
you know,
the better.
I said I wasn't going to call anyone dumb. You're dumb.
No, I'm not.
You're an idiot. If you think three plays are going to make a difference in the grand scheme of things,
I just think when you start doing that stuff, it
does
away.
What?
It takes away from what he needs to become, which is stand there and make the throws.
Three plays.
Which, unfortunately, a lot of times he can't stand there and make the throws. The protection's got to get better.
That's the problem. So, yeah, so from that standpoint,
but
yeah.
One thing that he did do, I think, that was different, and I think Blake Bortles took a step forward this week, is you remember how the last couple weeks, all of a sudden, you never really saw him trying to make something happen by whether it be pocket presence or extending the play, which we saw in the first couple games?
Right.
You saw him try to do that again, which I think is a positive sign that he's gotten some confidence back and he's ready just to kind of let it go. But, you know, in the two games prior to the game yesterday, if it wasn't there, he'd either throw it away or just take the sack, where this week you saw him trying to evade and extend the play. So, but then he missed some stuff. I mean, you know, the throw to Allen Hurns he missed, Clay Harbor he missed, and those would have been explosive plays offensively.
Oh, not the one that Allen Hurns should have caught when he got blasted.
No.
He should have caught that ball.
No,
that was
it was
throw.
The one coming out of the south end zone.
But that was actually a good throw to Allen Hurns. He should have caught that, I thought.
Well,
it was a good play.
He got whacked.
Camardi.
He dropped it before he got whacked, I thought.
No, he got whacked.
He got whacked.
Catch
shoulder
the ball.
To shoulder. By a guy who never whacks anybody.
Yeah, that's true. He was home, though. Rogers Camardi's dad lives here or something.
he played like it.
but I said this last night. That was the greatest half of defensive football I've seen in Jaguars history.
That's what he said. Yeah. In history.
Yeah.
In
Jaguars history.
Wow.
I mean, go back, Pete. I mean, think about it.
The only one I would say might be better was that first half against Miami.
Yeah, that was pretty darn good, too.
But they didn't score.
Yeah, Bracken scored.
Yeah, Bracken scored.
Okay, Bracken scored.
And there was about 50 sacks. I mean,
that might have
been. If you go back and watch that first half. Listen,
But yeah, it's in the conversation.
I said the same thing. It's in the conversation.
I don't know what that says about the defense around here over the years.
Well, it means that the defense has never been dominant. Well, I don't want to say never been dominant because, I mean, the stretch there when you had Henderson and Stroud that were playing, you know, at an elite level, that was pretty good years.
And in '99, they were the number one defense in the league. People forget that.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They were the number one defense in the league. Hard to believe, but they were.
Jeff, who you got tonight?
Aaron Colvin.
Ooh, good.
Nice. Fourth round pick, came back from the designated injury reserve list. And in the last 2 weeks, I don't know if you'd agree or not, Tony, but I actually highlighted him on Film Room Friday last week because his first game back playing against Reggie Wayne and the Indianapolis Colts did a fantastic job. And this week, I think he took it to another level. And the reality of it is that he's going to contend for a starting job next year as a corner.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without question.
Oh, I think he'll be the starting corner.
He may be. The way he's playing right now, and if I'm just kind of, I guess you could say, with my crystal ball forecasting, he will be the starting corner next year opposite Demetrius McCray.
Who's right. playing very well as well.
Who is really good.
We just earlier, before you came in, I said it'll be McCray and Colvin, and Cyprian will drop down and play the Cam Chancellor role more, and they'll sign Devin McCourty and play free safety. And all of a sudden, you look at the secondary and you go, wow, that's one of the better secondaries in the league.
Well, and then you got some flexibility. I mean, Dwayne Groton's going to have to compete now.
Right.
He's going to have to compete.
Well, one of them could slide inside on third down. You got to have three.
Those guys better start cross-training pretty quick because Aaron Colvin's in the mix.
Yeah. Good pick.
Tonight at 7, Channel 4.
That will do it.
Sam Kavaris, Jeff Loggeman, Aaron Colvin. Have a good show tonight. There you go.
Watch it.
DVR it. How about
DVR,
that?
DVR it. Watch it. Hey, man, anytime you can watch guys like Jeff break down film, it's a treat.
There you have it. Download the official Jaguars app today and get the latest news, videos, photos, and more. During the game, receive special offers, live news, and breaking scoring updates. The all-new Jaguars app available to download in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store right now. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Your call's coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Just to hear him and how he talked to the team about, let's go down and score. Let's find a way to get this done. And what I think he was 4 out of 5 in completion. He had, 30-some yards rushing. And, you could just see him wanting to take over the game. And his mentality, I mean, he didn't slide. We need a couple extra yards. He went for it. And I mentioned yesterday, that's what we see every day in practice, and that's what the guys are gravitating towards, his competitiveness and, his focus and taking advantage of opportunities. So I thought it was awesome for him and for the team.
Head coach Gus Bradley on Blake Bortles in his day after press conference earlier today. Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, 355 NFL-1.
Was that the first 6-3-5 first fourth quarter game winning drive?
Yeah.
Yes.
We only have one other win.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Well, I forgot he didn't get the other one. But that's a big time step for a quarterback.
Oh, it's huge. Gives you all kinds of confidence. Now you've done it.
You got to get the feeling that was his time anyway. He's done well in two-minute situations before.
I think he plays looser in those situations.
How about the call, though, by Jed Fish? It was second and 5. They're not quite in field goal. They're on the outside of field goal range. Jokel gets a holding penalty. He makes it second and 15 outside of field goal range. And Jed calls read option.
Yeah.
And it goes for 25.
Well, he must have saw something on that. Must have saw that.
His rear end had to be puckered.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you don't get that right, and it ended up being a great call. He saw something as a coordinator because Jason Pierre-Paul came down so hard and was not even paying attention, and they had no backside support, and it was out the gate. And it was a great block by Luke Jokel, who got up to the second level and drove the linebacker 15, 20 yards down the field. It was a gutsy call.
Now they almost gave away 7 or 8 yards at the end of the thing by running inside to Toby.
Yeah, it was a backside blitz. It was a good call by the Giants, and it was the right call against that. I mean, against the
made
power.
The field goal 4 or 5 yards longer.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to be careful in that situation. You got to be real careful.
No, I agree.
If you're going to play for the field goal, just sneak it.
That play got everybody free subs, by the way, too. That was the difference between a 40-yard field goal.
Oh, that's right. That's
so,
right.
So maybe they did it on purpose.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not if he would have doinked it off the goalpost.
Let's go to the phone lines. 355.
Yeah, that's important, Tony.
NFL 1, 355-6351. We'll start with Will in Arlington wants to talk about the offense. What's up, Will?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
All right.
Good. I've been scrutinizing the offense all season long. Not so much the performance, but the play calling by Jed Fish. I don't think it's been good. But other than the defense scoring yesterday, I think Jed Fish's play calling kept us in the game. Throwing in the wrinkles, throwing in the wildcat, just the different formations, the option at the end of the game by Blake Bortles. I think that helped, the game kind of progress and help us keep drives alive.
So what's the question?
The question is, Pete Prisco actually argued that the wildcat is taking away snaps and it's detrimental to Bortles' development. I think that the wildcat actually just throws a wrinkle in there and it's not going to be detrimental to him. It just makes defensive account to, a different package.
Yeah, well, eventually...
So I just wanted to make a statement on that.
Yeah, All right, fine. Thank you very much.
Eventually, you got to get to playing real quarterback in this league. You have to.
All right,
you have to.
I'm not going
to
go over this again.
You have to, Tony.
I'm not... Listen, three plays does not make a difference. By the way, in the wildcat, they got...
Do you think you'll see it again?
Here and there. And by the way... Denard can throw the ball, so it puts a lot. It can put a lot of pressure and change
it
up.
Great. It's a gimmick. You don't win with gimmicks. You win with quarterbacks playing football.
Okay.
You do.
Sure.
Unless you have a great all-time great defense like Seattle won last year by gimmicking up things and running him around, you can't win consistently that way in this league. Who's the best team in the league? Two best teams in the league right now. Name them.
Green Bay.
Number one. They don't gimmick anything up.
They
play quarterback. They play quarterback.
I got Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
Well, that's just it, but you got to find out if this guy's got to get to that.
Wait a second now, Pete. There's like four of those guys in the entire NFL.
Well, you drafted one. You better make sure he's going to be one of those guys, too, or get to that. Try and get him to that level. You can't mess.
And
you
how
can't
many those,
hide flaws.
How many of those guys that you just love and have a man crush on?
You mean the ones that play real quarterback?
That have won a Super Bowl lately. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Well, Flacco plays that way, too.
No, he's not one of the elite guys.
No,
you don't love
him. He plays pocket.
I'm talking about your four that you just
right.
drool over.
But they're there every year, aren't they?
No, my question is, how many Super Bowls have they won?
Sustainable success is there every year.
I think I won that copy fax. You can play the music.
You didn't.
Dean on the south side.
Aberration
season. Talk about the offensive
every year
line.
It happens.
Dean, what's up?
Yeah, we made the decision a couple years ago in the last year of Gene Smith's regime to blow the thing up, and I think we did that. I'd like to get the panel's perspective on the offensive line. Obviously you guys were talking earlier about Jokel. I mean, do you think they need to dip back into the free agent next year really to kind of give some good protection? I mean, Bortles, or do you think these guys are the guys that they got right now are going to move forward and get the Jags to the next level in the years to come? I've got skin in the game. I'm a season ticket holder. So yesterday was very exciting. It was good football to watch. But just like Pete was saying, I mean, do you see Bortles developing? And the only way he's really going to truly develop is with an offensive line. So what's Tony's and the panel's perspective on the offensive line as we move forward?
Thanks for the call.
No, thanks for the call, and thanks for skinning the game. We appreciate
it. He had to put in the fact that he's a season ticket holder, so he
like
wouldn't
that.
Cuss
yeah,
him.
Yeah, so Tony wouldn't
I
grade
have
him.
No problem with it. It's a great question. That was a very good question. Listen, I think dipping into free agency, I don't know what Dave's going to do there. The bottom line is four of the five positions are first- or second-year players that I believe will develop. I think Linder and Buenco, center and right guard, are going to be – I think Linder's going to be a really good player, and I think Buenco has the potential to do it, and he's playing a good rookie. He's having a good rookie year at center. He's a little bit stronger. That's what the offseason will do. You have Pazdor, who's now hurt out for the year, and so you're going to get Sam Young, and then you have Luke Jokel at the left tackle, who I know everyone hates and wants to kill and throw out of town, but he is developing. He's only a second-year player. His first year starting at left tackle, he'll be fine. And then you got Zane Beadles as the veteran of the group.
What about, getting a right tackle next year? Like a veteran right tackle. I mean, like Bulaga will be available.
Is Bulaga that much better? I mean, you have to look, and I haven't watched Bulaga this year, so yeah. This
and
is
he
a
plays
question.
A different offense, so it's hard to really, you know, yeah, what I mean? The so ball's out and yeah, all that. And he's a pretty solid player, but again, what are you paying that guy, too?
Right, you have to manage your salary cap, and what are you doing and what you're
doing.
See,
I think next year they'll come back. Bulaga will be stronger and better. Linder will be good, period. Beatles will be Beatles. He's gotten better. I got to give him credit. He's gotten better. He's still not good, but he's gotten better. Not worth that money, but he's a stopgap kind of guy. The left tackle needs to get better. Stronger, better, better technique. You know what? If I was Luke Joker, you know what I would do? I'd spend my summer at Tony Boselli's house. And I would say, Tony, one day a week, come out to the field with me and show me how to do this, 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 and this. Learn from a great. That's what I would do. I do. My offseason would be picking Tony's brain. Spending one day a week, come out to the field with me, bring him out to the field, and show him the techniques.
I don't know. My hourly rate's pretty high.
help a young kid out.
I would help him out. No, yeah. I'm joking. It was a joke.
No, but that's joking? What I would do that's what I'm doing. If
I'm partly joking.
That's what I'm doing.
I got five kids.
Well, bring your kid out there, and he can help him. You can help both of them learn how to play offensive line the right way.
You but should that's start an academy. I already Tony. Do. I already helped you my. I could coach my other one.
You should start an academy. Yeah, you should start a lineman academy.
Lineman academy.
Yeah, you can make some money.
Teach
out
these
of
guys
it.
How to learn to play at left tackle.
I mean, I think. Hey. I might do that myself, yeah. And you can work it for me. No, I mean,
smart man.
Seriously, I think that's what I need if I'm joking. So then if that happens, your four or your five spots are okay. You just need to address the right tackle. Clearly, Pazder, a guy they thought would develop, has injuries, hadn't developed.
Yeah, but let's be fair to Pazder. I mean, he's playing good. He's playing above average right now.
He's a
but
guard,
he's beat,
too.
And he's beat up.
Yeah, he's done
all
for
kinds
the year,
of injuries.
By the way.
I mean – right. Broken hand, coming off the
but
shoulder
they might address,
injury.
Don't probably, I mean, they can address right tackle, though. There's no doubt they could.
They could. I think you have to look at where you're at and where you want to spend your money this year.
Right. Well, where are they going to spend the money?
We'll find out in a few weeks, it sounds like.
About a couple months.
A little while, yeah. The Blood Alliance and Jaguars Gift of Life Blood Drive is Tuesday, December 9th from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the East Touchdown Club at Everbank Field. Donors will receive a T-shirt, a donor license plate, and a hero necklace. Plus, you'll be entered to win one of 12 pairs of tickets to the Jags-Titans game December 18th. More of your calls coming up, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. The Copy Facts Face-Off still ahead as well. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
A lot of our guys they face difficulties during the season. And sometimes it's little thing like, a tight hamstring. And, maybe it gets the best of them a little bit. You know, maybe it takes their spirit a little bit. And then you look over at Aaron Coleman, and every day he was working out. He, was excited and couldn't compete with the rest of the guys. But he was competing over there. And I think they saw his mentality and how consistent he was every day. And then to see something good like that happen for him, it was genuine now. They were really excited for him.
Head coach Gus Bradley. About Aaron Colvin and the team's reaction to the 41-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, who's going to start a left tackle camp, and Pete Prisco.
Pete's going to be the manager.
No, I'm going to be the money manager. I'm going to put it all together. You'll be working for 8 hours a day, getting a stipend while I put the money in my box.
Well, you have per diem.
You have all these quarterback whisperers and experts around that charge. Who knows how much money they charge?
I can't imagine what Peyton charges for. They come from all over for that camp. I mean, he bunks them, in dorms for a couple of days, and the counselors he gets are unbelievable. I think you're onto something there.
Yeah, I'll file away my free time.
Maybe someday it'll say. Come to Hall of Famer Tony Boselli's camp. Pro Football Hall of Famer. Not the College Football Hall of Fame.
He's already got one.
Got one. When is that one? You're inducted?
Next week. I won't be here next week.
No?
I've been calling.
Yeah, he's going to call in from New York.
I'll be in New York.
Oh, good. I get some airtime finally.
All Pete, all the time.
That's a good thing.
Back to the phone lines. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Elliot in San Marco. Wants to talk about Denard Robinson. What's up, Elliot?
Hey, guys. First, a quick comment. Tony, thanks for warning us that you won't be here next week so we don't have to just get stuck with Pete Prisco and his cheerleader.
Oh!
His cheerleader? What does that
mean?
Well,
that copy fax thing every single week, basically, Tony ought to just say, Pete, I disagree, and then just look at JP and let JP give it to him.
So, wow. So you agree with me.
I win every week. What are you talking about?
The fix is in. They just give it to Pete.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank
There's
you.
No question about it. I've listened to pretty much every show, and it's just go ahead, Tony, to say, Pete, I disagree, and then just go get some water or something and let JP give it to him.
Well, I win every week. What are you talking about? You don't pay attention. My arguments are accurate, 100%. 100% accurate, factual, and winning.
Obviously, the fix is in. Okay. This is ridiculous.
Obviously, the callers have spoken.
An insult.
Anyway, Denard Robinson.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, he's got some of those unteachable skills that you really want to have in a running back. But what is, from a technique standpoint, are there some things that he can learn and add some weight during the offseason that will make him good in pass pro? Because it seems like pass protection for running backs, kind of like a form tackle, breaking down your feet, getting square, and then just not wrapping up, but just making that block. But, I mean, technique-wise, what does he have to do? And do you think it's something that he's going to be able to add to and become a more full running back?
No, that's a good question. So, I actually think Denard's done a good job up until this week of pass protection, which I was a little bit surprised at. He was not great this week. And I think the issue was, more than anything, is he waited. He didn't eat up the space between him and the rusher. And I've seen him do that in the past, much better job. And when you wait, maybe you're on your heels a little bit, letting that. And Kennard is a big linebacker, and he got a head of steam, and he struggled a little bit with that. And so I think you're right in your assessment this week. But overall, I think he's done a pretty good job. He just needs to be a little bit more aggressive and take away the space between him and the rusher.
Yeah, it takes time. Look, there's a reason a lot of backs come into the league and can't play. It's because they can't pick up those blitzes. So it's just a matter of time and working on it.
Max in Springfield, offensive line. What's up, Max?
Yeah, going back to the offensive line, we lost our offensive line coach before the season even started. George Arno's fighting cancer. First question is, has anyone heard how he's doing? And my real question is, how much of it's the players and how much of it's the offensive line coaching this time?
Thanks for
the
call.
So, first, last I've heard, George is doing better and
good.
Putting up a great fight, and everything sounds positive from what I've heard. I don't think it's fair. I think Luke Buckus is a very good offensive line coach, and I think he's done a good job, especially coming in, you know, at the last minute and taking that lead role. He's a guy who's coached in college as the number one offensive line coach. I think he's done a good job with this group. So, listen, it's a young group. He has his hands full. It's a lot that he has to communicate and trying to get everyone on the same page. You got two rookies who are seeing this for the first time ever. And so it's not just the physical part of it, it's the mental part of it. But I think Luke Buckus is doing a good job.
And how many games have the five guys that they want to start starting? And by that I mean Blanco, Linder, Pasdar, Beatles, and Jokel. How many games
probably
together?
Seven or eight, maybe.
Together?
I don't know about that.
I don't think
together.
It's that many.
Remember,
Linder
missed
five.
Been early.
Oh, yeah, probably five.
Yeah.
Four or five.
So there's part of the problem right there. And you know this as well as anybody. It takes
time.
Cohesion and working together.
Unity.
Yeah. And when the way they handle their loops and stunts, you can tell that they haven't spent a lot of time together.
Wasn't great at times.
And they still won't have it the rest of the year with Pastor out.
Right.
Well, on the right side. Now.
Right.
So why? Hey, I got a question. Why isn't my guy Pat called back?
Maybe he's on the line. The lines are all loaded up here.
We've got a little time to get
no
some
Pat.
Calls.
As I like to say, relax, kid.
Relax,
kid. I could say kid, but I forgot you came here as a 44-year-old. At the reunion, probably everybody goes, "Oh, Tony, you look the same when you were 44 when you got here."
I'm only 42, Pete.
Okay, you were 41 when you got here.
Yeah, a little more about that Saturday night event. I mean, it's a players-only thing. There's no wives.
Yeah, I can't talk about it.
It's
private. It's okay. Very private.
Is it only players?
Only players.
So no wives?
No wives.
Family?
No family. Players only.
Ooh,
that's
I don't
how
like
it should
that.
Be.
No, I don't like that.
Why? It's us getting together.
Yeah. You're left out, Pete. That's why.
No, I don't. I'm not. I wasn't around then. But yeah, I think you should. Yeah, I guess. But
no, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
You know what they really need to do, though, is have – and I told Dan Edwards this, they need to get the next year is actually 20 years from the first team. They need to find and try and get and find and fly in and bring everybody in from the very first team.
That'd be fun.
The very first team.
I don't think you can find everybody.
I mean, it would be hard, but it would be fun to do, wouldn't it? How many of the 53 that suited up on the first day, how many of those guys you think could actually get here and be here? 40 of them?
I couldn't even guess.
Well, a lot of them still live here.
Yeah, a lot do. It was a great time, though. It's always good to see everybody and catch up and tell stories and laugh and see how everyone's doing.
And everybody came up to you and said, I remember when you were the deep throat.
No, no one said that, Pete.
Okay. You were the deep throat.
You can, say it as many times as you like. It doesn't make it true.
It's too bad Yurko doesn't come back.
Wow. Jaguars Monday continues in a moment. Do you want your photo or tweet on the massive new Jags video boards? Use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive during the next Jags home game this week against the Texans. And be part of the game experience at Everbank Field. The Social Drive brought to you by the Nimnick family of dealerships. More of your calls coming up, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Tony has called out Pat to call in tonight. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
I believe when you're watching the defense, it was extremely, extremely physical in the second half. Big hits, a lot of big plays. Guys have the mindset for going for the ball. We talk about they come in bunches, the sacks, the turnovers, things like that that we've gotten, especially over the last couple weeks. I think it's something that we're really excited about, especially defensively.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today talking about the defense. Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick with Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, senior NFL columnist. Is that your official title?
Yeah.
All right, I got it right. Tony Vaselli is
senior.
Senior.
I'm a senior.
You are.
What's that mean?
It means I've been there longer than anybody else. Yeah.
Tony Vaselli
you
is here.
It's been, think about that. It's been 14 years since I left, Tony.
How many?
14 since I left the newspaper.
Feels like 100.
No, it doesn't. It seems like it was just yesterday. It does. It seems like it was just yesterday when I walked out and I told Tom, I'm leaving.
And he partied.
No. You know what he said? I said, look, I respected you for being a coach and a good guy. He's a really good man. And he looked at me and he said, I respected you too. That's all
he didn't say anything about a good man.
No, he knew. Did you see him this weekend, by the way?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Didn't you get a sense that he knows his fate already? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much.
I don't know. I don't try to look.
You think
into
he's coming back?
I hope so.
I think he is.
I'll
tell you what, the newspaper didn't help him today.
No.
New York.
Nail in the coffin.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
That was brutal.
That's what they do.
That was brutal, though.
It was not very
That's
nice.
New York.
That's New York, York media.
But remember, this is the same guy they tried to run out a couple of years ago. They tried to run him out before he won two Super Bowls.
Listen, if you win two Super Bowls, in my book, you leave when you want to.
With the reason, if he had another season like this, then
no. If it was obvious that he wasn't a good coach,
right?
But and things in poor management
but Tony,
or whatever else.
If he comes back next year and
if guys weren't playing for him,
if the team is the same as it is next year, then he goes.
Well, then I think he just retires. And
right.
Just.
But I think if he wants to coach next year, he should come back.
I agree.
The Jags defense ranked 28th in the league in total D, but recently playing better. 8 forced fumbles the last 2 games, the most in a 2-game span in team history. And we go across the pond to England. Chris is certainly happy about that performance. What's up, Chris?
I've just got a couple of things to say. Orlando Pace was the better tackle to Tony.
Oh.
I'm just kidding, of course.
Yeah, you're out of your mind, by the way.
I'm just kidding, of course, and I can never say thank you enough to Tony for the autograph and the picture that he gave me at the Grove Hotel. I just want to say thank you for that. And then I've got a two-part question here. The first part, and I can take the answer off the air. The first part of the question is, with Sen'Derek Marks and Roy Miller playing so well up front, how much of that does that free up JT Thomas and Telvin Smith to make plays, you know, get after the quarterback and stuff like that? And then the other part is, do you think Roy Miller will sign an extension? Because I believe his deal is up. And I'll take the answers off the air, of course.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
To answer the second one first, I believe they want to sign Roy Miller to an extension, and I think he likes it here.
I think they'll find a way to get
him. I do, too. He's playing an outstanding one technique or nose guard. He's doing a great job. And, I think a guy like Roy especially, he eats up a lot of double teams and does not get pushed around, does not get pushed back, stays in his gap, so it makes it difficult for those guys, those offensive linemen, to get up to JT.
I didn't realize they were first in red zone defense until yesterday. Now they're second, Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, they've been very good all year.
Yeah, that's good. That's
three
a good
takeaways
sign.
in the red
that's
zone.
That's a good
too.
Sign.
Yeah,
it is. 355 NFL 1, 355-6351. You want to go a little national here, guys?
Just keep going. Let's just rapid fire.
Nick on the north side wants to talk about the St. Louis Rams. What's up, Nick?
Yeah, I just want to say that I think it took a lot of guts for those St. Louis Rams players to come out of the tunnel yesterday and show some solidarity with the people of Ferguson by doing the hands up sign, the don't shoot sign. And I hope that more players do it. It'd be nice if the Jaguar players also took a cue from those guys and showed some solidarity with the working people of America, who are the backbone, the original backbone of the NFL.
All right, go ahead. Appreciate the call, man.
Pass. Look, has a freedom of speech. You can do whatever the heck you want, almost. You know, I have no problem with it.
Spencer Orange Park wants to talk about the Texans. They're coming up next. What's up, Spencer?
That's right. The Texans are coming to town. I used to call Pete a few years ago when you had your show. So I'm a diehard Texan, but I love y'all's show and I listen to you all the time. But I want to make a comment. Now that the bearded dragon has cut off his Duck Dynasty beard, he's playing like the best quarterbacks in the league right now. So you guys better be careful. You have the best defensive end / tight end coming to town this week. So I'm excited. I hope.
Wait a second. Like you're trying to tell me that J.J. Watt's the best tight end?
Yeah, man. No. Hear me out what I said. I said DN / tight end.
Well, he's the only one.
You got me? Thank you. So
by the way, he shouldn't be doing that.
Why not, man? Come on.
Why? Why risk your franchise defensive end? What if he jumped up and tried to catch a pass and came down on his knee and it buckled? I just don't think. Is he a better pass catcher than the tight ends that they have?
Yeah, I got you.
I just don't like that.
I enjoy the show, man. But I would have liked to see you, Tony, go up against JJ.
You might.
No, I'm not coming back. It would have been a great challenge. JJ Watt.
You might see him play out somewhere someday.
JJ Watt's a outstanding, great, one of the best defensive players to ever play the game. And it would have been a great challenge and a lot of fun to try to block him.
Have you watched his tape this week yet?
Not yet.
No. It is. I watch him every week because he's the one guy I highlight one play of every week.
He's dominant.
It's unreal, the thing. Last week I pick out different plays. The obvious plays. I picked out a play last week where he was tripled.
No, he's dominant.
Wow.
Tripled.
He's a great player. It'd be a huge challenge to go against him.
You know, though, one week I picked out a play, and he's such a hard charger up the field. Cincinnati a couple weeks ago had the tight end in motion and ran him back across the formation, and then he came up the field, and they trapped him and cut him. And the running back went inside of that for about a 30-yard gain. Why don't more teams do that to him? Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you think they would do more?
I would try to take advantage of his aggressiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, he didn't go high.
Well, he's a big man.
Didn't go high.
He's a great player. Listen, I think it's going to be a great challenge for and he moves all over the offensive line now. He used to kind of be one position just over the left guard mainly, left or right guard. Now he's end.
Well, he picks
inside.
He picks out the weak link.
He's going to go wherever he wants. Yeah. And he is a – He rushes very well from both sides, and I know what my game plan would be against him.
If he and Gronk went in the room,
he's a great
who comes
player.
Out?
Well, Gronk's crazy. I don't think you can hurt him. I think JJ would get the best of it early, but I'm not sure Gronk right. would feel anything.
That would be a good one.
So I think Gronk would just keep on going.
Throwing him against the wall, and he'd still be flailing. Yeah.
It would be like a movie fight with Gronk, because Gronk could get hit like 1,000 times and just sit there and look
Watt's
at you.
Watt's a little bigger.
Oh, yeah, bigger and stronger.
Yeah, he's not that much bigger, though, when you think about it. Because isn't Gronk about 6'6", 6'7"? And same
he's
size,
about 6'6".
About 265.
Yeah, but JJ's about 285, 290.
And just strong.
It would be a great – listen, two great players.
You know what will be a great fight is when Pat is on the line.
Pat has been called out.
What's up,
you called him out.
I didn't call Pat out. I was calling to tell him if I offended him. I was not calling him dumb. I just thought his question was ridiculous. That's all.
Pat, how are you tonight?
Hey, fine, guys. I appreciate y'all having me on. Hey, Tommy, everything's good, man. You're a great guy. I almost didn't catch it. I'm up in Waycross, coming back through Waycross from taking care of finishing up a business deal. And I just happened to turn the radio and hear you, buddy. Man, everything's great. You and Jeff, y'all gave me and my family some great years down there in the stadium and everything. Just appreciate you for that. Appreciate you being the guys you are in the community. And I thank you, great guys, and I love listening to you and everything. And
Pat, you had to love that game this weekend.
Oh man, I love that game. I love that game yesterday. There's no doubt about that. That I'm telling you that. You can't say enough about that, you know, and you can't say anything bad about it whatsoever. I loved it, and I just look forward to some more like that. I hope we can get the rest of them like that, and I think some of them we will. I don't know about all of them the rest of the year, but I think we can do some of them. And, but then again, Tony, I'll tell you, buddy, yeah, everything's good with us.
Good.
Hug it out.
Pat's my guy.
Very nice.
Pat's my guy. Now, Pat, though, realize this. I mean, I love you. Love the fact you're a fan, die hard. Yeah. But if you ask another ridiculous question, I'm probably going to say it's a dumb question, just so you know.
But, Pat.
I'm fine with that.
But, Pat, for right now, you just bull rushed right over the offensive tackle.
That's right.
Yeah. Pat, call back anytime.
I'm going to relish that win yesterday because, you know, it takes a lot of the Band-Aids off, I tell you.
All right, drive home safe.
Yeah, and I appreciate you, Tony. I appreciate Jeff and all you guys and Pete and everybody. And y'all have a good night, man.
All right, man.
And Pete, too.
You lost all credibility when you said
rush.
Pete.
You got bull rush.
Forget it. You mentioned Pete.
As soon as you mentioned you, I was like,
you got bull rush.
Lost all credibility.
You got soft.
Maybe a little bit.
You got soft.
I got pushed back a little bit. Quarterback a little bit.
3-5-5 NFL 1-3-5-5.
Well, Brunell scrambled into you again.
Wow.
We started.
Very nice. Was Mark here? I didn't see Mark yesterday. Was he here?
Yeah, he's here.
He was here? All right. I wasn't on the field.
He was on TV today. I saw him on the ESPN.
Yeah, he had to fly out. Had to leave, I think, a little bit early to get up to Bristol.
Mac on the north side. Jimmy and Keenan. What's up, Mac?
Hey, Tony, I met you a while back, and I always told you, you should run for mayor. I'm going to vote for you.
All right, cool, Mac.
And Pete, welcome back to the new brother.
It's only been 2 years, Mac.
Well, I've been listening. I can't even call it.
All right. I know, man. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Pete, what's going on? You know you're my man.
I know.
All right, what's the question? What do you got for us?
I got a question to ask both of you guys. Tony, Pete, and Tony, I talked to you about this. We got to get Jimmy and Keenan in there together. And when they introduced Jimmy, I was at the game yesterday. Man, I went crazy when I saw Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy and Keenan. His question is,
put them in the ring of honor,
and I think they will. They're the next two to go in
together.
I think they should go in together. I think
that's the story, right?
Jimmy was better than Keenan. Keenan would probably admit it if you put him on a lie detector test, but if you asked him, he'd say no. No, he wouldn't either.
No, he wouldn't.
It would just go off.
It wouldn't even go off.
Why? Because he still believes he's better.
He believes it 100%.
1-1A. That was even he would admit there was 1-1A, though. He wouldn't say it was, 1-1A. No, I don't know. But I think that would be cool. And NFL Network is putting their December 19th, the Football Life, Jimmy and Keenan, they kind of made it.
Yeah, it's Jimmy and Keenan, Football Life of Jimmy and Keenan, December 19th on the NFL Network.
You'll be on it. I'll be on it.
Yeah,
be Mark will be on it. I wonder if they got Tom. Did they get Tom?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good. It'll be a good one because it's, I mean.
You know I've never watched one of those?
They're fantastic. They are so well done.
I know I shouldn't admit that, but I always, I always want to.
You should catch up on them someday.
Is there a way to catch up on them?
You have a DVR?
Yeah, I know, but is there a way to go back and archive it?
You can find it.
Yeah, on the NFL Now app and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to go check
it
out.
They're fantastic.
Because I've seen, the highlights.
They're really good. They're well done.
Yeah. When's the Tony Boselli Football Life?
There'll never be one.
Why not, Pete?
It's not interesting enough.
Yeah, he hasn't gone wayward or anything.
Not yet.
Well, I mean, Alzado had problems.
Oh, you know what? I have seen a Football Life. I saw the Alzado Football Life.
Yeah. There you go.
That was very good.
Yeah, it's good. They're good. They do. They interview.
So I lie. I have seen. I watched.
So I can't. I'm looking forward to this. Will be the first kind of. I mean, for obvious reasons, some of it won't be very flattering, but it's the first real Jaguars Football Life. It isn't because they did Tom.
Tom Coughlin.
They did Tom.
I'll say this. Now that I think of it, I watched the Alzado. It's like you can't turn it off.
Right. Did you see the Tom one?
No. I have it, so I saw bits
and
pieces.
Actually, Tony was in the Tom one, too.
Yeah, I was in bits and pieces of it.
You can hear my voice in the Tom one. It was on a practice, and he's walking over, and I go, if you put us any further away, we're going to be in the parking lot.
That's pretty good.
Because they had the penalty box, right?
We weren't allowed to move.
It was great.
It was like, and then you go practice on the other field.
We loved it.
Move.
We loved it.
Why?
It was just fun watching you guys squirm over there, and because I knew it bothered you so much.
It was
the fact that it bothered you made my day.
Why? I just came off the field and you just told me everything that happened anyway, even though I didn't see it.
Deep throat. Tony Vaselli.
Anthony Cesario.
I'm starting to believe this.
Anthony Cesario. Who is that guy?
He's passed away.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Sad. Too young.
Yeah. Jaguars Texans coming up this week. Week 14. First, they beat them twice last year. Jags did.
You know what the Texans are sitting there thinking? That they got a
chance
to get back into the playoff
race. That's right.
Who do the Colts play this week?
I have that. I just did it today.
If the Colts win and we beat the Texans, Colts clinch the AFC South.
Yeah. Colts play the Browns this week. Johnny Manziel could be starting a quarterback. He should be.
The Colts will win that game.
At Cleveland?
Yes. Especially if Johnny Manziel starts.
Yeah, they'll probably win the game. They'll win the game anyways. They're a better team.
We'll go around the league and look at week 13 coming up a little bit later. But when we come back, the long-anticipated copy fax face-off.
We're
going to
agree on this one. So,
I don't know if you are.
Pete's nervous because
I'm not nervous.
He doesn't have any. He has. Who's skilled?
Why do you go first?
Because you went first last week.
No, you won.
The winner.
I won the last one. Yeah.
Totally he won. Went first on the one we gave him the freebie on.
I won, Pete.
I won the real one, and you gave him the freebie one.
Oh, that's coming up. Get ready. Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
We do base a lot of the things off analytics. I told you we go through those situations. And, the card that I have, talks about all those situations. So it's one of those things that, percentages say to do this and compares our team to the team we're playing. So those are all things that are well thought out that when that time comes, we've already kind of made our decision on that. So that's why it wasn't just let's go for two. It was more a process that we've gone through.
Head coach Gus Bradley talking about the process of deciding whether or not to go for 2 points in the third quarter. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Vaselli. It is time for the Copy Fax Face-Off. The topic tonight is the 2-point conversion decision in the third quarter with about 2 minutes to go.
It was after the Marquise Lee touchdown.
It was 21-16 with about 2 minutes left in the third. The 2-point conversion failed. It would have put the Jags within three. Correct decision to go for two there. Yes or no?
Am I up first? So I have a decision to make right now.
Well, what did you say on the air yesterday?
I have a decision.
What did you say on the air yesterday?
Let me finish my thought.
No.
I go first.
You can't. What did you say on the air? I want to hear what you said on the air.
Yeah, I want to hear. What'd you say to the air?
Joe, is it my mic right now or is it these two Yahoos? It's my mic. Thank you.
Well, go for
it. So everyone be quiet. I have a decision to make. I can make the argument that it was the wrong call and put Pete in such a pickle because he has nowhere to go with it.
Then I'm going to tell down the hall and tell Gus you're criticizing him.
Oh, that's fine. Go tell Chris. If I disagree with Gus, I'll tell Gus to his face. I have no problem. But I'm going to go with what I actually think.
I want to hear what you actually think.
What I actually think is I agree with the call at the time. You have to look at the scenario of who this team is, what had happened in the first half, and what your thought process. And all of us are sitting in the booth having the same conversation of this is a team that averages 14 points a game. That was the first touchdown they scored in about 8 or 9 quarters. They had struggled the entire day to move the ball at all. 3 and outs constantly. In the first half, 3 and out to start the second half. They had nothing going at all. And to be honest, it took a trick formation and a perfectly thrown ball to get the 6 points that they did. So if I'm Gus Bradley and I'm sitting there, and I was just sitting there in the booth, I have to find a way to make this a field goal game to try to get into overtime. Because you can't count on your defense scoring again. and you've looked at the entire scenario of where you are and the struggles you've had moving the ball, with your defense playing very good football in the second half, it's about a 50-50 chance of getting a two-point conversion. Those are basically the statistics if you look at put them all together. And you take a shot, and you make it a three-point game. If you miss it, it's still a touchdown score game. You still need a touchdown to win. No different if you kick the extra point. And so based on – now, if I had a dynamic offense who is scoring a lot and a veteran quarterback and a veteran group, I kick the field goal immediately. It doesn't even cross my mind. But in that scenario, I agree with Gus Bradley 100%. Make it a – give yourself a chance to make it a field goal game going into the fourth quarter with your defense playing very well.
Did you say that in the booth yesterday?
Yes.
You did. Okay. So you were wrong in the booth and you're wrong tonight. It's simple math. It's a simple formula. You score to cut the lead to 5 with 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. You're not thinking about now. You're thinking ahead. What happens if they go down and score? So if you don't get the two-point play, which they didn't, right? So it's still 21-16. So what happens? Jacksonville scores, right, to go ahead. Well, what'd they have to do? They had to go for two again. If they had kicked the extra point, they could have kicked another extra point. You always got to look to the future and look at the time. Yes, if it's in the late in the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, it would have been the right decision. 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, you got to look and see how everything spins forward. And too many coaches in this league never spin it forward. They get caught up in the emotions of the now instead of thinking, what happens if this happens? What happens if, and it played out exactly the way it was going to play out. Here's the other point. Okay,
they played it exactly how it was going to play out?
In the wrong. You
knew that they're going to get another defensive touchdown. That happens all the time.
But you're assuming.
Oh, wait a second. First time in franchise history it's ever happened.
Assuming over 20-year
period.
Touchdown,
one time.
If you do get another touchdown, here's the other part of that. Okay? They made it. They would have made it a four-point game, right, if they kicked the extra point. By not kicking the extra point, if the Giants had scored a field goal.
Still a one-possession game.
You got to get a two-point conversion.
Still one possession game.
So what's the point of it? There's no point in that. They were wrong every way. He was wrong in every way, shape, or form. If it's a fourth quarter, he's right. If it's 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, and I'm talking about midway through the fourth quarter, 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, he is so wrong, and any coach in this league that does that is way wrong.
Well, I'll use your own argument against you. I think he was looking forward of the situation his team was in based on what they have been over the entire year, which is the worst scoring offense, and touchdowns are at a premium. And so he is looking at a scenario, I got to make this a three-point game to give myself a chance to tie it up and send this into overtime.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. If they don't have the two-minute drive to win the game or whatever the late-game drive to win the game, is he still right?
Yeah, I said it at the time.
Really? He would have cost his team a game by making that decision.
You can't count on a defensive
touchdown. You always
have
to play the scenario.
You're playing the scenario.
It's just like here when I always say, talk about the draft and who's doing this, and you go, you can't look that far. You always play out the scenario.
I'm saying that's what he's doing. I am looking forward.
You're not looking forward.
I am
looking forward.
You're
not thinking about what would happen if this happens and this happens.
He said it perfectly in his press conference. Looking at the team and what they have done so far this year and throughout the game and the trouble they have had getting the ball into the end zone.
Right.
So, let's make it a three-point game.
So, what if they did it the first quarter? You okay with it the first quarter, too?
No, because you let the game play out.
You had a whole game.
You let the game play out.
You had a quarter and a half.
You had the whole game.
You had a quarter and a half.
You had a quarter and a half.
You had a quarter and 2 minutes.
The next time you were going to get the ball back was the fourth quarter.
You had a quarter and 2 minutes.
The next time you were going to get the ball back was the fourth quarter.
It was a bad decision. It was a bad decision.
You have to look at the entire game.
There's no way in the world that that's a good decision. None.
I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine.
If they kicked a field goal, it was a bad decision. If they had kicked it, the Jaguars went down and scored a touchdown, and it was a bad decision. You missed an extra point. You had to go for another 2 point. You didn't get that, and then he almost lost the game because of it.
He did not almost lose the game because of it.
He didn't.
No.
What? Okay. When the Giants went ahead, did they not almost lose that game?
No. They got the ball back with 3:26 left on the clock.
Were they behind?
Yeah.
And why were they behind?
All they need is a field goal.
If they had kicked both extra points, would they have been behind?
No, but the question is...
just play my music, please. It's over and done with.
What are you talking about? You have to look at the entire picture.
Play my music.
This team scores 14 points a
game.
Strike
up the band. Sun Devil Band.
They haven't scored a touchdown.
They're dancing
in the last 10 quarters.
They're dancing on the USC logo.
One offensive touchdown. One.
It doesn't matter. Oh, you got to spin it forward. You got to spin it forward.
I am spinning it forward.
He almost cost the team a game.
No, he did
he
not.
Almost cost his
no,
team
he
a game.
Not.
Yes, he did.
No.
It was bad. It was a bad decision. Bad clock management.
Well,
bad decision.
I guess we're
bad
disagree.
Situational coaching.
I was
but he's not alone. I'll absolve him of this because every coach in this league.
Oh, I'm
is
glad
poor.
You can absolve people now.
It's situational. You thought that was a good decision? There's no way that's a good decision.
That's the right decision based
no.
on where, your team
no.
and what
nope.
the situation
no
you're in.
Spin it forward. Spin it forward. You know what's going to happen?
It is spinning it forward.
No.
How is it making the right call, Pete, if it's midway through the fourth quarter all of a sudden?
Because you don't have less time to get the ball back.
Well, you're going to get the ball
quarter.
Back no matter what.
You have a whole quarter to get the ball. You have a whole quarter to get the ball back.
Well, in the first quarter, they only had one possession.
So what? The Giants
one
went
possession.
Ahead.
One possession in the first quarter.
You know why the
quarter.
Giants were ahead late in the fourth
one
quarter?
One possession.
Why were they ahead late in the fourth quarter? Because he went for two,
no,
and then he went
why.
For two again. That's exactly why.
No, it's not.
So, do the math. The math is there. It's right there in front of you. He went for two, didn't get it, then scored, and had to go for two again. Why was he going for two again?
Your time is
play
up.
Play my music. Oh, you feel sorry.
Tony Boselli.
Oh, my God. There's not a person alive that thinks you won that.
See,
I can't believe you.
Come on, JP, join me.
I don't know the words to this one.
That's,
haven't scored
no
that
way
much
you're right on
year.
That one.
I am right.
I feel sorry for you.
I don't feel sorry
yeah,
for you.
Do.
Tony Boselli.
Ask
on
Joe.
Board.
He was in the booth. How much confidence did you have, Joe, we were going to score another touchdown?
We're trying to balance it up so we have an even score
the
going
score
down
the
stretch.
The score is 8-6 now.
I feel sorry for you. There's no way you won that. There's no way, shape, or form he did the right decision.
I'll be doing the copy facts because I'm going to come in and we're going to do the copy facts by phone when I'm in New York.
Well, I'm going to be on the last 2 weeks. I'm going to be by phone, so we'll do it in.
So, Pete, your argument is that the book is the book no matter what the team has done this year, right? The book is the book across the league. Right.
In my book,
in your
is.
Book, it
it's
is.
The way you should play the game.
But
you
Gus
have to spin forward and think.
We heard from Gus right before the segment that it changes every week.
Let me tell you a story about that, okay? Them. I'm going to tell you a story about that because I had this exact same argument with a certain head coach. He was a young head coach here in 1995. And on the road at Tampa, scored late to make it a one-point game, and Tom went for two and didn't get it. And they lost the game. And I said, you shouldn't have gone for two. And he huffed and he puffed, as he always did. And he said, with that young team, I was going for two. I said, so next time when you got a good team, are you going to go for two? And he stormed off. And the point being is, you can't base it on what your team is. You have to base it on the situation. Because eventually you're going to get to that situation, and it's going to try and do it again. And a lot of coaches get caught up in the emotions. And if you do it once.
I think it's just the opposite. I don't think Gus was caught up in emotions at all. I think he had a very clear mind of looking at the entire picture.
No, he didn't look at the entire picture.
Yes, he did, Pete.
Tony.
You heard him say it. He had the sheet in front of him that the analytics department had put together about what they had done the last few weeks, about what the Giants had done the last few weeks, put it all together, and that's what.
Look.
That's what it had.
We're getting so caught up in analytics.
So he didn't have to think.
You're getting
about
so caught up in analytics now, and this guy does this and this. The bottom line is.
You know
is,
what, Pete, they should do? They should all call you before.
You know what?
The play.
They should hire
they should
me. I'll stand
on
the sideline.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of situational coaching in this league
you'd
that is
be,
awful.
You'd be just great.
I'd be
at
great
that.
At
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be great at it.
I bet your phone won't stop ringing.
I'd be great at it. That's a bad decision
no, it wasn't.
In a lot of ways. Just like when Belichick went for it in Indianapolis on fourth and Jackass, that was a bad decision. That was my lead that night.
Hey, how about did you see the Green Bay New England?
Yeah, I didn't like that decision either.
Why did he go for it there?
I don't know.
He's on the
it was fourth and three, and then he had fourth and then he had fourth and seven and punted. So if you went for it on fourth and three,
and he was on his own side of the ball,
right?
I didn't understand.
So, Tony, if he goes for it on fourth and three,
I don't understand.
If you go for it on fourth and three,
he didn't punt. He tried to kick a field goal and missed it.
Is that what?
Yeah,
on fourth. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Field goal.
Bad decision. The coaches are bad. They make bad situational coaches. Look, I'm not taking anything away from Gus because they all do it. Every single one of them. It's a
everyone but Pete.
It's a plague in the NFL. Bad situational coaching is a plague in the National Football League. Heck, Mike Smith, they were calling for his head. I've known Mike Smith for years, and they were calling for his head in Atlanta. He made a bad decision at the end of last week's game. Bad decision. They all make bad decisions. They get caught up in the emotion.
Are they tied with New Orleans for the league?
Yeah,
right now?
They're in first place, though, because they beat them already.
Yep.
They play Green Bay this week.
Loss.
Probably going to get New Orleans plays at home against Carolina, so they'll win. So basically it comes down to Atlanta needs to go to New Orleans and win a game. So they control their own. If they win the game, they'll have two. They'll have be tied again, and they'll have beaten them twice, so they'll control their own destiny, no matter what happens this week. It's unbelievable. And then you know what's going to happen? Then we're going to have everybody around the league saying, it's unfair, it's unfair, it's so unfair. What if 4 years ago that the NFC West, which is considered the power division, had a 7-9 team at the top?
Seattle.
It's all cyclical.
That's right.
I agree with you.
So there it goes. There you have it. Baselli's a winner tonight. He's down
you
by
felt
two.
Sorry for him. That's really bad,
standings and the
that one was really bad.
Face off.
Even Joe knows you're way off base on that one.
I was right.
Company, you know what that is? That's a company man spooing off company stuff.
Coming to Neil's Radio tomorrow night, Jessica Lauren, Donna, and Blythe will be talking Jags in the league from their unique and strictly feminine perspective. Tuesday night at 7, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We'll look around the National Football League. Recap Week 13 coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
New system, new routes, new way. The JTA has transformed to be the kind of bus system customers enjoy riding. New routes mark the beginning of a new way of doing business at the JTA. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick with Pete Prisco and Tony Baselli. It is time to look around the National Football League in Week 13. We start off with the San Diego Chargers. What a rally. 21 fourth quarter points. Great game. They beat the Ravens 34-33. The Chargers are still right in the thick of it.
That's a very telling win for them. I mean, you go on the East Coast, starting a game at 9, you know, what is it, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. for them, and win that game the way you want it. Very telling for the Chargers, and they had to have it. Here's why. Here's what the Chargers close with. New England this week. Denver the next week. Finish up at Kansas City and play San Francisco at San Francisco the week before.
Well then,
how's that for a schedule?
I don't think the Chargers are making the playoffs.
I don't either. They might win this week against New England though. Back-to-back road games across the country. That's always tough in this league. It's a weird dynamic, but it is.
So you're in Baltimore and then New England.
No. I'm talking about New England was in Green Bay and now
right.
must go to San Diego.
Right.
That's tough.
San Diego's pretty good.
They're tough. They're a tough team. They're tough.
Can't count out that quarterback, man.
No, you can't.
Can't do it. Tough dude.
That's a bad loss for Baltimore. Baltimore essentially plays a playoff game. If Miami wins tonight, which they should against the Jets, you never know with those two teams, though. Baltimore plays at Miami next week in what is essentially an elimination game in the postseason.
The Buffalo Bills scored 26 in the second half, held off Manziel, 26-10 win over Cleveland. Johnny Manziel's first touchdown. Is he starting next week?
I think he should.
I didn't even see the game. I mean, Hoyer awful?
In the last three games, Hoyer's thrown 6 interceptions and 1 touchdown pass. He's just been bad. And no, he's not been bad. He's been Brian Hoyer. You are what you are. He wasn't good here the day he played here.
No.
He is what he is. Manziel came in, threw a rifle shot to Josh Gordon on one play. Missed a wide-open receiver on another play where he didn't see him. And on the scramble touchdown, and this is where I get a little concerned about Johnny Football. Yeah, he scrambled for a touchdown. He had his back out of the backfield wide open, standing there with nobody near him, his hand up, and he didn't see it. But he scored on the play. Manziel needs to play, period. End of story. They're not a playoff team. They need to get him in there and let him play.
He obviously didn't do much the rest of the game, though.
Well, he
when did he go fumble or something?
It was, yeah, he fumbled. But
when
it was
did
late.
He go in?
It was third quarter.
Second half,
late
yeah.
in the third quarter.
Okay.
You never see this in the league. Rams 52, Raiders nothing.
Yeah, that's a beatdown.
Well, I said this yesterday on the show. This is not a good thing for Dennis Allen, and here's why. He's been fired already. But Sperano got him to play a little bit of motion with a little bit of motion against the Raiders. I mean, it's the Chiefs, and they won that game. And then the reality set in. This is you're the Raiders, and this is the talent base. And they were just awful yesterday. So Dennis Allen will never get a head coaching job again because he couldn't get anybody to play anytime. And Reggie McKenzie probably might not get a job again. And the Raiders were that bad. Now they have an issue. Derek Carr. They started a rookie quarterback, and he didn't look good again yesterday. And he's had his growing pains. All these rookie quarterbacks had their
growing
pains.
Well, that's part of being a rookie, though.
I don't mind it. But, I mean, you'd like him not to be that way, but it's all learning how to play the position.
Do they have that little talent?
Well, they got
– Khalil Mack's a good player.
The offensive line's actually played pretty good. They went in yesterday as the leading sack team in the league on the offensive line. Robert Quinn got 3 on him yesterday. Khalil Mack's a good player. Moore's a good player. Hayden, the corner, is going to be a good player. They have some good players. But you know what they did? They thought that they might be able to piece together some wins by signing Tuck and Antonio Smith and some of these older guys.
MJD.
Yeah, he's, you know, he doesn't do anything. So, yeah, so they're bad. And the Rams, you know what the Rams are going to be the last 4 weeks of the season? One of those teams that's not in the playoffs that you don't want to play because their defense is starting to come together.
And this is year three for Jeff Fisher, and they have been
the same as job.
They've been the same thing though. Every year.
Yeah, but the quarterback. When your quarterback goes down, you kind of get a pass.
They have to draft a quarterback.
Well, or to make a decision on Bradford.
If you had to pick it today, would you have Bradford back?
I'd draft somebody.
I'd have him back and draft somebody. I'd do both.
Yeah, I mean, no reason to get rid of him, but I wouldn't count on him.
You don't get rid of him, right? Yeah. But you would
draft. I would draft a guy for sure. I mean, the guy's been hurt.
I draft a quarterback every year.
That's you.
Yep. One of them, like in the back end of the – even as a back end guy just to see what you got. Now,
well, I'm talking they need to draft a guy in the first, second round.
I wouldn't draft one in the first round, though.
Pete, I mean, the guy –
look at that look at that group, though. Which one you can draft? Mariota? Winston?
Mariota's going top five.
I think the Bucs will take Mariota. Right now, if the draft was today, the number one – Oakland would have the number one pick. They're not going to draft a quarterback. Tampa would have the number two pick, and they would draft Mariota.
And Jags draft –
with three.
Three. I think we're four.
I thought it was
three, four. There's two, three other teams with what?
But I thought the tiebreaker made him third or four. Yeah, right in there, third or four.
Something. So. A lot of football left. Let's put it that way. Drew Brees woke up, threw five touchdowns. Saints over the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
The Steelers' defense yesterday was horrible. Ike Taylor came back off his injury, and Kenny Stills torched him to the point where he couldn't. It was bad. The Steelers aren't very good. Okay. That you come off a bye against the team that's been battered and beaten in their own building, coming off a short week, and you play that way, that's a bad loss for the Steelers.
It's surprising. Shocking. I thought the Steelers would win that game.
Well, Roethlisberger got his hand hit early in the game, and at one point he was handing off with his left hand, and he could tell he wasn't his arm.
They still scored plenty of points.
Yeah,
he came back.
He came back and he was okay, but I don't know. I just thought he got garbage points at the end, though.
Yeah, I saw that.
By the way, Colston scored a touchdown.
Oh, did he?
You hated that pick on game
day. I still hate it.
It's okay. He scored.
Yeah.
Just for the record, he did. Falcons continue in first place. We mentioned that. They're now 5-7. Beat the Cardinals. What's wrong with the Cardinals now?
See, everybody will point to the offense of the Cardinals, but 500 yards of offense for the Falcons against that defense.
I heard. I didn't see it. Julio Jones toasted, just worked over Patrick Peterson.
Yeah and no. I mean,
that's what, I mean that was the word.
Let me ask you this, because we always talk about grading guys. How do you grade – a corner in man coverage and the safety shaded to the other side and you got the whole side of the field and you run stride for stride with him and he kind of turns around on a back shoulder deep ball and makes the catch and falls into the end zone for a touchdown. How do you give the corner a negative on that play? I don't. You're running stride for stride with one of the best receivers in the league. He just happened to make a good play. There was some of that in that game as well. So I don't know. Julio Jones had a good game and Peterson spent time on him. But that's a little over-exaggerated.
So what is the problem with the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, I thought the problem yesterday to me, it's up until yesterday, it'd been fantastic.
Right.
I thought they got a little Seattle hangover. And by that, when you play the Seahawks, you're physical. And they were physical against Seattle. I mean, that was a bloodbath. It was a war. They sacked them eight times in that game, and it could have been 12 if it wasn't for Russell Wilson. I just think the combination of playing Seattle, emotional game, pretty locked the division up, going home and then traveling across and getting a team that's desperate and had to have it in their own building, back. It was 17-0 before they even looked up.
Yeah.
The Vikings blocked two punts, returned them both for touchdowns, beat the Panthers 31-13.
Panthers are a bad football team.
I would have fired my special teams coach today. Two block punts for touchdowns. You know, Ron Rivera got a contract extension before the season.
Coach of the year last year.
If not, he might be gone. This team has been a disaster. And again, you know, we talk about Coughlin and his.
A lot of issues, though.
Yeah, there's no talent. There's not a lot of talent there. You had the Hardy situation. Your offensive line, they just avoided addressing the offensive line.
And you lost your longtime left tackle, right, Jordan Gross.
But they knew that before.
That's what I'm saying. You should have addressed it.
Right. They blew that.
Caller mentioned the Texans earlier. Fitzpatrick had six touchdowns, two to Hopkins, a monster day for him, 45-21. Texans coming here.
I'll be honest with you. I jokingly call him the helium balloon because his passes stay in the air for a week and a day. If you go back and watch the tape, somehow, by not playing, he had more zip on the ball yesterday.
He was doing something right.
It was unbelievable. He had a lot of open. I mean, they were wide. It was bad. It was the Titans were awful yesterday. Awful. They dominated him every way, shape, or form. They were bad. It was as bad as I've seen it.
Yeah, but that, I mean,
that Texans team isn't that good.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, how does that happen with Fitzpatrick as the quarterback?
It should never.
Did they run the ball pretty well as well?
No, it was okay.
It was okay.
Great.
Foster was back. But it was like 75 yards or something.
Yards. Yeah. It should never happen.
No.
Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy had a big day. Packers over the Patriots.
Great football game.
That was a good game.
Very good.
It was never really as close as the score made it indicate, though. Like, I don't know what it is, but when people play New England, Devontae Adams had a touchdown. He catches it, rolls in, game's over, right? I mean, yeah, it was just.
And that I think it was the third quarter, maybe.
Missed a field goal.
And well, another thing is the Packers are late second, third quarter. They're down the red zone, deep in the red zone, and can't punch it in. Have to settle
for
a field goal.
Four in the red zone.
And so a lot of that stuff. I mean, the Patriots
were a better team.
Patriots played good red zone defense. Kept it much closer to Pete's point.
They were a better team.
Green Bay actually was. I think Green Bay is the better team, especially at home.
I wanted to ask you. You did the Thursday game, the Cowboys. Yes. What happened to the offensive line that day?
I have no idea. And Tony Romo wasn't very good either.
No, but the offensive line was horrible.
Yeah, they did not play well. And the Eagles, they play fast. They were on, like, turbo fast. I mean, it was unbelievable.
The Cowboys were sucking wind.
Oh, my gosh, from the start.
Were you in the booth? Yeah. You were in the booth, yeah. So you weren't on the sideline. But from the TV, it looked like they were sucking wind.
It was obvious. And they had no answer.
The Eagles' defense has gotten better.
They played well. I mean, I can't say
Fletcher
anything
Fletcher Cox is a beast.
He was dominant.
And they get a pass rush from Graham and Cole. And
just
guy, it's a rotation.
It's by Vinny
committee. Curry,
it's
all
by
of
committee.
Them.
They play hard. And they played hard. They played well.
The corners actually
and I don't,
held up.
I have no – well, because they didn't – Dez Bryant had two or three targets. Right. Jason Witten had one.
Right. What were they doing?
I don't know what the game plan was.
It was weird.
And Tony Romo was not on his game
no,
at all.
He was bad.
Yeah.
He was bad. But the line, to me, the most stunning thing of that was how, and I haven't watched the tape, but I'm going to do something on the Eagles this week. I think their defensive line and offensive lines are getting better.
Benny Logan made a comment before the game in the paper that he thought the Cowboys were, offensive line was overrated and they were just okay. And I'll tell you what.
That day
they
looked,
backed it up.
Right. They looked okay. Yeah. And the Eagles' offensive line's getting healthier again.
Boy, they're just. I don't know how Chip – I mean, give them credit.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't do much in the second half, but they didn't have to do much.
The right guard stinks.
Gardner?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's the third or fourth guy that they played there.
But, I mean, the line. Kelsey's a smart guy.
Peter's a good player.
Mathis
is a good player.
Peter's a good player. Right tackle.
Lane Johnson.
Yeah, he's okay.
Okay.
We'll come back in a moment. Final segment of Jaguars Monday. We'll talk about Monday Night Football, what's coming up this week for the Jags as well. Final few minutes. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
A ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat. Come celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, and any other special occasion at a Jags home game. Maybe this week. Save on seats for groups of 10 or more. Special seating available. Reserve your group experience today. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/more. A ticket to a Jags game, Tony, is more than just a seat. Jaguars Monday continues. Final segment. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Monday Night Football tonight.
What a bad game.
But an important game for the Miami Dolphins.
I know, but a bad game.
It's a bad
game. Does anyone want to watch the Jets?
No.
Is the rumor true that Rex has been told that he's out and he's just playing out the string?
There's some theory out there, and he'll have his pick of the litter. Now there's some talk if he wanted to go into TV for a year, he could make $3 to $5 million a year.
Good for him. Only in America.
See, but my concern if I hire somebody like that for TV is I'd want him to commit to me for 5 years. Because I don't want a guy who's going to come in, be good on TV, everybody loves him, and then leave and go coach again.
Would Rex be good on TV?
I think Rex would be fantastic on TV.
As long as he is authentic and doesn't try to, you know.
Imitate somebody. You don't want to be Madden. Because, you know, like Matt.
Or start being politically.
Matt Millen that used to imitate Madden.
Or start being politically correct.
Right. That's part of the problem with TV is there's too much political correctness on it. They don't call anybody out. You think somebody would call out Gus the way I just did on one of those shows? They won't. They don't call him out.
Your boy Gruden. You like Gruden.
John Gruden loves everybody. It's unbelievable. Nobody's bad.
He's better than he used to be.
Nobody's bad, though.
Yeah, he'll make some comments every once in a while on that.
Sly ones.
But he used to not say anything.
No, but doesn't really call him out.
How long has he been on Monday Night Football?
It's been about 7 years now.
And he's the same kind of deal. Everybody thought he was going to go back and coach and this and that, but he's committed.
Cowher, I can tell you, I don't think Cowher's ever going back to coaching.
Would you if you had that gig?
No, heck no. Why would you?
Gruden's making more on Monday Night Football than he can as a coach.
Not anymore with the way the coaching salaries are.
What's Gruden making? Six on TV?
Oh, no, he's not making that much a year. Probably four or five. But coaching now, you're talking about eight. But why would you want that grind, though? Because you know why? They're all competitive. There's no He has nothing competitive on Monday.
I'll tell you right, I get it. I mean, I do too.
I understand it.
That's the one thing I miss.
The competitive?
I mean, just that's why I love coaching high school football, is the competitiveness.
You didn't end it on a good one, though.
No, I got beat.
Ooh. You should see him on the sidelines.
It still bothers me.
Tony gets fired up on the
sidelines. Did the team that beat you, are they still alive?
No, they got beat.
So who'd they lose to?
Trinity, the real good team.
Oh, Trinity.
Not that anyone cares listening to us.
No, this is no, because high school football is big around here.
No, I know.
Big deal. Have you seen Tony on the sideline, by the way?
No.
Oh,
I was going to go to the game, and it poured one night.
Yeah, right.
Oh, he gets fired up.
And I'm glad I didn't go because it was like 60 to nothing or something.
It wasn't that bad, but it was close.
It was almost 60.
No, it was not 60.
What about that team that came up here the other day against First Coast and scored 60? Apopka. They run the single wing.
Yeah.
Hit him in the mouth.
With a lot of athletes.
Yeah? Are they fast? Yeah.
Who you guys got tonight, Dolphins or Jets?
Oh, Dolphins.
Dolphins.
If the Dolphins don't win tonight, that's
– Philbin get fired.
That could be the end of Philbin.
Really?
Yeah, because they wouldn't make the postseason.
Where's the game at?
It's in New York.
So that helps.
I still think
the Jets – no Muhammad Wilkerson supposedly tonight either. He's got a bad toe.
And they're playing Geno Smith, so.
Yeah. They're not losing that game. Miami's pretty good on defense, too.
Yep.
Let's finish with the Jags. 4 weeks to go, coming off a second win. Defense playing well, scoring points. The offense trying to get back on track. What do you see down the stretch here? Texans this week.
Well, I mean, listen, you got the Texans at home. You should have some energy coming off and off a win. I'll say this. If the three of the last four games, that in my opinion, are coin toss. I mean, you go into that game feeling confident that you can win that game.
Which one isn't the coin toss?
Well, I think Baltimore, depending how they play it out. Now, if they're out of it, they might just mail it in, and then that game. But if they have to win that game to get into the playoffs up in Baltimore,
that could get ugly.
It could be tough.
They're good on both lines, so that could get
so
ugly.
I mean, you look at Baltimore. If they win this week,
so what is Jacksonville's Houston?
Then Houston, Baltimore, Houston, Tennessee.
Tennessee. They could win three of the four.
That's what I just.
They
said.
Won't, but they could. They'll probably win two of the four.
Yeah.
They'll beat Tennessee and they'll beat Houston once.
Listen, Houston Texans, you got to block J.J. Watt. But I've always said if it's just one guy you got to worry about on defense, you can game plan that. And he's going to make his plays and it's going to be – I mean, but listen, I'd rather have that dominant, amazing player on defense than on offense. Because offense, you have a quarterback who's that guy. It makes it real
right. If you have a defensive player, you can go away from him.
You can do some different things.
Yes, Houston, Baltimore, then Tennessee on a Thursday, and then Houston ends the season.
Houston's the Thursday. Tennessee's on Thursday.
Tennessee's the Thursday night here. Yes.
So yeah, they can win three. They can win two of the four, which would get you to four wins. Which is about I predicted four wins. That was my.
You're
prediction.
Always right, Pete.
No, because I don't think they're going to get to four.
You don't.
No.
You just said you think they'll win two of the next four. No,
now I'm thinking about it. They'll beat Tennessee. I don't know if they'll beat Houston once. They might, though. Yeah, they might. They might beat them at home.
This week?
Yeah, they might beat them at home.
Are you going to make the prediction now?
I pick Houston. I already did.
I mean, you've changed your mind like 50 times.
No, I pick Houston this week.
How are you doing in your picks?
I'm good.
You've come back to earth a little bit, though.
No, I was 13-2 last week.
Where are you ranking amongst all the other senior riders?
Oh,
senior.
I don't know. I'm up there. I'm second, I think.
Not
against
first?
A spread or straight up?
Straight up. I mean, this isn't
second.
A gambling show.
I'm second. I'm
How
second.
Are you against the spread, Pete?
Pretty good.
Entertainment
pretty
good. Purposes only,
yeah,
of
well,
course.
Pretty yes. good. There's a pick watch site that has everybody in the whole country, like every analyst who makes picks. And at one point I was first. I don't know where I am now, though.
Well, you're obviously not first because you're not first at CBS.
I haven't seen it. No, I'm second, and I think that guy was first, actually. We have good pickers. It's hard to pick games. Would you have picked the Saints yesterday on the road to win the game?
No.
Would you have picked would you have picked Atlanta to win the game yesterday?
No.
Would you have picked the Chargers to win at Baltimore yesterday?
Mm.
No, you would not.
Come on,
have.
Tony.
Well, you were 13-2, so which one
not
did you
last get? Week I was 13-2, not this week. No, this week no.
I'd have probably picked San Diego.
You would not have. Would you have picked the Eagles over the Cowboys?
No.
Would you pick the Seahawks? You probably would have picked the Seahawks over the Niners.
Yes, I would have.
See, I didn't. I picked San Francisco.
No, that's because you're an idiot.
You know what I thought? I thought short week, beat them up, go on the road, tough. You're the one who's just saying how tough it is to play on the road 2 minutes ago during the break.
It is tough to play on the road.
You know what they say? It's any given Sunday. That's why it's so hard, right?
Wasn't there a movie that named
that? I believe
that?
Yeah, so, yeah. The deep line right there. Let's go to timeout. Fat Tony and Paul Spicer.
We need a timeout.
They can pick some games. What's up, guys?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's happening?
Just trying to pick some games over here. That's it.
No, I was listening. A heck of a game yesterday for the Jags. Obviously, look, that defensive effort. I mean, you're not going to get that every week, scoring two touchdowns. But I think for a young team, you know, Tony, this is a win they really needed just to feel better about themselves for this last quarter of the season.
When you're 1-10, you always need a win. Yeah, and now you're 2-10, right, you need another win. Yeah, when it makes everything better, it's easier to make corrections. Guys are happier coming into the facility. I think at times guys are a little bit more open watching film of being corrected. And I think just everything about it is better. The radio, also, you know, it's just better.
And it also validates Gus' message.
That's right.
Gus has definitely been a over-the-top positive guy. You know, nobody can deny that. But, you know, after a while, you know, when you're losing, I don't care who messages who's talking. If you're not winning, I mean, you know what? Guys start to kind of look around that message and say, okay, what's next?
What'd you guys think of the two-point conversion, by the way?
Wrong call.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I heard you guys earlier going back and forth, and Tony, I'm going to disagree with you, man. You know, I would have went for the, you know, he should have went for the one. You know,
all right, you guys can all be wrong with Pete.
I think we got to strike up the band again since he was wrong.
Wow.
No, I mean, to me, the message that it sends is that you only think your offense can get one more drive in the game. I think that's the message that you're sending, and you're opening the door for a field goal to beat you, which it could have in the end because they went for a two-point conversion in that spot. I am one of those firm believers in, especially at the NFL level. In college, you play it on emotion a little bit more. But at the NFL level, you go for two when you have to.
How many touchdowns has this offense scored in the last
It doesn't matter.
Three games?
You can't think that way.
It doesn't matter. But, I mean,
it doesn't matter.
It's all about situations.
Oh, okay.
I mean, situational football. That's what the NFL is all about. It's situational football. And okay. Right there, that situation, especially the first touchdown, did not say, hey, let's go for two. I mean, you had plenty of time as Pete.
They didn't do it on the first touchdown.
Earlier.
They didn't do it on the first touchdown.
They did it in the third quarter when they made it 21-16.
They didn't do it on the first touchdown. They kicked the extra point on the first
one. See, Paul Spicer was a coach for a while, and he agrees with me.
You're jumping over things that clearly doesn't mean anything, but the bottom line is that
the facts don't matter, right?
Third quarter.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
You do not need to go for two.
Tell him, Paul.
It almost cost him.
Tell him, Paul.
It almost cost him.
Yeah.
You don't agree with me or Pete, but that's fine with me. But we all know, anybody watching that game, when it was 24-22, you're sitting there saying to yourself, okay, the offense got the ball back with three.
Well, I knew we were gonna move the ball.
Did you believe
at that point,
the
offense
was gonna be able to go down there, drive the ball, which they haven't been doing all game. And put Scobie in position to score.
Yeah, so
you weren't 100% confident.
You just contradicted
yourself. You can't sit here on this air and say you was 100% confident.
No, you're right. I was not 100%. I was 110%.
There you have it.
And guess what, guys?
That proves right there. That proves my point because you can't have 110%.
The best thing about this, guys, is that we're talking about this after a Jaguars win over the Giants. And on that note, that is it for Jaguars Monday. And timeout starts right now.